Well, hi, everybody. I'm Jason Cusick. I'm the lead pastor here at Journey of Faith. And if you're new with us today, I want to say a special welcome to you. Maybe you're joining us because you were with us on Easter, and you're like, I think I want to come back and see what else is going on over there. So if that's your situation, thanks for being with us. We're a church that meets in more than one location. So right now, we're connected live with our Torrance campus. So hi to everybody at Torrance. Great that we can be connected like this. And today we're starting a new series of messages called The Road. And the idea behind this is really simple, and that is life is like a journey of faith. We are all on the same road. Some of us, that road is scenic and smooth and beautiful. And for others of us, it's winding and confusing and very wet. Very soaked with water this morning. The challenge is how do we stay on that road to the destination that God wants us to get to? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And in fact, it's kind of this series is based on this idea. How can our relationship with God move us forward together on that road of faith? And so to answer that question, we're going to look at one of the great religious masterpieces of literature in the world. It's contained in the New Testament of the Bible. It's called the Letter to the Romans, or Romans for short. And this is a magnificent book of religious literature, this letter. This letter was written back in the first century by one of Christianity's earliest evangelists and church leaders. He was kind of a cultural anthropologist in a way, in that he would travel to different areas of the ancient world, particularly in the Mediterranean area, and start new churches. And this letter was written to the people that lived in ancient Rome. And as he's writing this letter, there's something unique going on in Rome, and that is it is filled with people that were so different than each other. They had different traditions. They had different religions. They had different socioeconomic levels. They had cultural and ethnic differences. And their differences were actually causing a bunch of conflict. And so Paul writes this letter to say, hey, wait a minute, there's a lot you have in common. And if you can focus on what you have in common, you can achieve more than if you focus on the differences. And that's kind of the challenge that he presents them in this letter. And I think that's very similar to kind of the challenges we have today. Sometimes we get stuck because we're focused on our differences. And if we can focus on what we have in common, we can actually move forward and can get us unstuck in some ways. I was thinking about this last week. I was thinking, what stories do I know of in my life or in somebody else's life about people getting stuck in life and then having to figure out what to do? And the story that came to my mind was a story from my mother and my mom and dad's early marriage. So here's a picture of my mom and dad when they got married. They're so happy. So together, and shortly after this picture, they started their new life together at a small apartment in Gardena, and it was time to do the laundry, and there was no washing machine in there, so they went to the laundromat, they packed up all their clothes, they packed up their detergent and all the different things. They showed up at the laundromat, they chose a washing machine, they put the stuff in the washing machine, and then they stood back, and they looked at each other. Now, this wasn't, hey, you're the man, you should do this for me. Or it wasn't like, you're the woman, it's your job to wash things. They stood back, looked at each other, and realized at that moment, neither of them knew how to wash clothes. Their parents had washed clothes for them growing up. This was the first time they had to kind of figure this out. And the great part is they didn't go, you should have learned that already. You should have learned that already. Shame on our parents, all that kind of stuff like that. They had a good laugh. They were kind with each other. And then they figured it out together. Our culture is really different. When we get stuck somewhere, when we get stuck in a financial issue, when we get stuck in a relationship issue, when we get stuck in a political issue, a cultural issue, a language issue, all the different problems that we have, not just in our greater society, but even in our homes, sometimes we get stuck and then we focus on the differences. We blame, we accuse, we point fingers. You should have known more. I should have known more. Your people should have taught you. You're part of that group. That's the problem with you people in that group. That's what we do in the culture. But God has a better idea. See, when God's looking at us as human beings from this level, he's looking and going, actually, you're a lot more similar than different. And I want to show you what some of those similarities are. Here's the main idea for today. When we get stuck in life, we can start again with God and each other. So let's jump into the first section of this ancient letter written by this man Paul to the Romans. This is the section we're going to look at, Romans chapters 1 through 3. Now, if you're new to the Bible, you're probably thinking, you said it's a letter. Why does it have chapters? Wouldn't that be weird if I wrote you a letter? And I was like, dear so-and-so, chapter 1. You're like, what the heck? The original letters in the Bible did not have chapters, and they didn't have numbers. They were ancient letters. What happened later is, as followers of Jesus started to compile them, they said, we should break this up and put numbers next to each of the sentences, so when we want to remember one of them or we want to go to one of them, we can just use that reference. So those were added later for convenience. So I want to encourage you this week, if you would read the first three chapters of this letter in the New Testament, and if you don't have a Bible, we have one for you. When you leave, you can head right outside and we'll give you kind of a starter Bible. You can also look up online and read it for yourself. But I'd love for you to kind of read this. What I'm going to do is kind of give you a 30,000 foot perspective on the first part of this letter. And the first part of this letter is super encouraging. For all the problems these Roman people were having, Paul starts off with some really encouraging news. Look what he says here in the very opening. He says, God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. You know what he's saying? He's saying, when you open up the Bible and you read kind of the first half of the Bible, you go, what the heck is going on here? There's all kinds of crazy stories and conflict and war and challenges and things like that. But baked into all of this are these promises that end up pointing us to the life and teachings of Jesus. It's kind of like God started the world with good news, and we've kind of been on this road, but all of it points to Jesus. And there's good news about having a relationship with God. And here's what Paul adds to that. He says, this good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. I find this really refreshing. Notice it doesn't say, here's the good news about how you can be made right with God. It's not a religious pursuit, like what could I do so that I can be right with God? No, God's actually doing that work, and it's by this word, it's by faith. To be connected with God, to have a life-giving relationship with God, to be able to start your life again when you find yourself stuck, it's not about how intelligent you are, how educated. It's not about how wealthy you are or making sure that you're not connected with those wealthy people. It's not about your accomplishments. It's not about your traditions. It's not even about religion. It's about faith. And that's what the entire letter of Romans is. And it should be relieving that it's really about me being able to open up my life to God. And that's what can help me get unstuck when I'm stuck financially, when I'm stuck relationally, when I'm stuck in that time in life where I don't know what to do, or I get that diagnosis, or I just got laid off, or I've got that conflicted relationship in my life. Remember that main idea? When we get stuck in life, we can start again with God and each other? Let me show you a couple of things here in the first three chapters that we all have in common and how we can get unstuck and start again. Here's the first way. Celebrate God's kindness in our lives. The ancient Romans, they were stuck in the problems. They were like, oh, we got this disparity between the rich and the poor. Oh, we've got these massive political differences. Oh, we've got war happening and we want peace. Oh, we've got different traditions. You have a different tradition. I have a different tradition. Here's these conflicting religious beliefs. And they were focused on the differences and the negativities. And Paul's like, wait a minute. Stop and think about how kind God has been to you. That's really compelling and interesting for me. When I first came to faith, I was about 19, 20 years old. And I kind of came to faith. I started having this relationship with God. And shortly after that, I started thinking about my life. And I started thinking about my past. And somehow having a relationship with God made me more aware of the ways God has been kind to me. Do you realize how kind God has been to you? That's what Paul says to the Romans. Look what he says, almost accusatory. Don't you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is with you? I talked to a guy last week, and he was he's reading through the whole Bible. So he's almost done with the Old Testament. And I said, wow, you're almost done with the whole Old Testament. What did you get out of it? And I was expecting he would be like, dang, it's so violent, and God's so angry. You know what he said? He said, finishing the Old Testament, I realized, wow, God is so patient with humanity. Now, you might be like, oh, I read the Old Testament. God's really angry. And I'm like, I think you should read it again. Or maybe you didn't read the whole thing. In fact, the human story is the story of God creating a beautiful and good world and creating relationships for us and all of us screwing it up. So the question is, do you see how wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient God is? What a great description for God. God is kind, tolerant, and patient. Here's an action step for us. This week, reflect on God's kindness in your life and then share kindness with someone you know. Just off the top of your head, as we're together here, does something come to your mind about your past that you could go, wow, God's been very kind to me? Maybe it's an opportunity that popped up. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe you had a negative experience in life that strangely turned into something positive. Can you think about this week, God's kindness in your life? Maybe it was through relationships with others. That's kind of a surprise for me. I'm an introvert. The idea of, we talked about getting into a group, like groups are really important for us at church. That's tough for me. It's tough for me to give me one person to talk to or hundreds. But that middle space kind of makes me really uncomfortable. But I've been at this church for over 20 years. I've been parts of different groups. And when I'm part of different groups, it's like, it's been a positive experience. I've experienced God's kindness. And I was asking some people in our church, I was like, do you have examples of this in your life? So I got a few examples of this, which I thought were really great. This is one woman wrote this. She said, God has been so faithful in giving us our life group. In this season of pregnancy and postpartum, we felt incredibly supported and surrounded. It's truly like having a village we know was placed in our lives on purpose. That's really cool. Here's another one from a guy. He says, before joining a men's group, all of my relationships with men were transactional. I couldn't really even call them friends. The men in my group and I have truly bonded. We've laughed together during glorious times, and we've wept for each other during tragic times. Here's another one, just someone coming to church. I've experienced God's kindness by being welcomed by this church and welcomed into groups that have made me feel supported. I felt encouraged and reminded that God meets me with patience and love as I grow in my faith. And now I'm grateful to serve in Journey Kids and share that kindness with others. That gets back to what I was talking about. Like, when you think about God's kindness in your life, then it kind of makes you want to share that kindness with other people. Who could you share that with this week? Who could you be kind and tolerant and patient with? And I'm not talking about like, oh, I really like this person, so let me be kind to them. I'm actually not talking about that. I'm thinking, think in your mind, is there somebody that I tend not to be kind to? Someone that I am kind of intolerant of? Someone that I'm impatient with? And how could you be that for someone else? God is kind, tolerant, and patient with you. How could you be kind, tolerant, and patient with that person? Now, if you're like me, just that idea brings up some tension because you're like, I don't want to be kind to that person. I'm intolerant for a good reason, you know? I don't want to be patient with that person. That person talks too much. They have views I don't agree with. They're not a nice person. That's kind of the tension that Paul is getting at in this letter, especially in the first part. If God is so kind, why are there such unkind people? Or if God is so kind toward us, why is the world the way it is? Why is it such a hot mess? And that's what Paul talks about in the next section of the letter. He says, you know how you all have in common, we all have in common that God's been kind to us. Here's something else we all have in common. Everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. And this word sinned, sin is anything that separates you from God, separates your life from who God created you to be. That's what sin means. And what he's saying here is all of our differences, he's writing to the Romans, he's saying, you know, you're all different financially and culturally and traditionally and religiously, and your ethnic backgrounds and your political affiliations. You know what you all have in common? You're all sinners. He says, we're all sinners. Now, when I first came to faith, I was like, that seems pretty judgmental. I don't want to be called a sinner. But I have to admit, the older I get, the more accurate I think that term is. The older I get, I go, you know what? I am kind of messed up. The older I get, the more honest I can be like, oh, I have made mistakes. I wish I was more connected with God in my heart and my mind. Or I see selfishness bubble up in me, and I go, there it is. I think that's what God's talking about. And notice it's not saying I'm a sinner and other people aren't, or they're sinners and I'm not. It's like, no, there's something about us in our humanity that kind of draws us away from God and from each other. And you might be like, do you have some examples of that? Paul goes into some examples. You can read it on your own, but he gives three examples in this letter. He says, let's just go back to the creation story. God made a beautiful, vibrant world, and we've been screwing it up. Like, we're destroying it. God says he created us to tend to the world and take care of it, and we're not doing it. Or he says, look at relationships, right? God created us as human beings to have connection with each other, to lean into the strengths of each other, to trust each other. But how many of us have experienced relationships that were incredibly painful, that are marked by sometimes mistakes, sometimes intentional hurt? He even has a story in the beginning of the Bible that says God created for man and woman to come together and to be married in a lifelong partnership of equality and empowerment. But our world is full of all kinds of relationships that are not like that at all. Temporary, misaligned, and relationships that are not equal and empowering in any way. That's another example. Now, we might think, as Paul's writing this letter, that he's going to say, see these examples of how we're all sinful? You know what's an example of what can fix that? Religion. But he's going, no, that's a problem too. Back in Rome, you had devout Jewish followers of Jesus, and then you had non-Jewish followers of Jesus. The Jewish followers of Jesus said, we have the Ten Commandments, and we have all the Old Testament laws, and God has given that religion to us. And Paul, who was also Jewish, said, actually, God has given that religion to us, and we don't even follow it. So we have all of our religious rules, and we're breaking them all the time. And then the non-Jewish Christians were like, ah, see? That whole Jewish religion is good. We're non-Jewish, and we have our conscience. We have our own moral code, and we follow that. And Paul says, no, you don't follow that either. Even non-religious people have their own standards, and they can't even keep up with those. He's saying, hey, everybody, you know what we have in common? God is kind to us, and we're a hot mess. But the good news is we can get unstuck. Here's the other way that we can get unstuck. Remember that God has a wonderful solution to our sin problem. Remember that verse I showed you? He said, everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. That's not the end of the sentence. Here's what Paul said. Yet God, in his grace, freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. We're going to talk more about this next week. But the idea is somehow we as human beings have broken the world, and we've kind of broken ourselves. We come into the world fractured and disconnected, and somehow when Jesus died and rose again, he kind of started fixing that problem. It's kind of like the more we move toward Jesus and what Jesus did in his death and rising from the dead, the more some of that brokenness is repaired. And maybe that's the invitation that these first few sections of Paul's letter gives. When we're stuck, God wants to help us start again. So here's an action step for us this week. Humbly name one area of brokenness or sin in your life and bring it to Jesus. Just like you're thinking of, let me think about the kindness of God, let me think of an area in my life where I need to start again. Maybe it's a relationship. It's stuck. It's not working. Rather than saying, well, I'm done, that's it, maybe there's a way to start again. And notice I put humbly name an area of your life. You know, not like, oh, I'd start again if this turkey was, you know, cleaning up their act. Maybe it's a relationship with your parents or a relationship with one of your kids. Maybe you're stuck at that point in your career. Maybe you hit a certain point and you thought, I thought this was it, and it's not. You're like, well, I guess that's it. No, no, no. Maybe God has something new for you. Maybe it's in your health. Maybe you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And it's time to bring that to God. Say, God, I think I need a new beginning here. What would it look like to do that? To humbly come to God and say, I want something to start again with me and you, and maybe with me and somebody else. And let me remind you just one thing. I've talked about, the word sin has come up a lot. And I think some of us have a really bad reaction and even an unhealthy reaction to the word sin. Sin is kind of a diagnostic in the Bible. It's like, I gotta tell you what's wrong so that we can get the treatment, you know? Here's the beautiful thing I like about what Paul is doing in this letter that we're reading and we're going to continue to read. Paul says, you know what should prompt us to move closer to Jesus? It's not guilt. And it's not shame. And it's not fear. Some of you grew up in homes or religious traditions, or you've encountered religious people, and these people have tried to scare you to get closer to God, or make you feel really bad about who you are to get you close to God, or make you feel like everything you've done in your life keeps you from God. So you need to clean up all that stuff, and then you can get close to God. But that's not what Paul is saying. One of my favorite quotes from this letter, here's what it says. Look at this. Can't you see that it's his kindness that's intended to turn you from your sin? Isn't that great? When you're stuck in life, when you're stuck in an area of brokenness, you're stuck in an area of your life where you've made plenty of mistakes, you've done things that you regret. You've made choices that are unhealthy to you and unhealthy to your relationship with God, unhealthy with your relationship with others. You know what the way to move toward Jesus to be able to get that sin taken care of is? Remembering how kind God has been to you. God is wonderfully kind and tolerant and patient. Let that be the invitation to starting something new. So here's where we're going to end our service. We're going to sing a song together. And the song is aimed at how good and great God is. And during that song, maybe there's an area of your life where you're like, hey, today's the day to start over. I need to give this to God. I need to open up my life. I'm going to surrender this. I'm going to say, God, help me with this. Not because I deserve it. Not because I've worked so hard. Not because I'm trying to be more religious. But because you're kind to me. Open up my heart for that. Would you all stand with me, and we'll stand over at Torrance? Here's what we talked about today. When we get stuck in life, we can start again with God and each other. Celebrate God's kindness in our lives and remember that God has a wonderful solution to our sin problem. That's Jesus. Let me pray for us, and then we're going to sing this song to close our service. God, thank you for your kindness. Thank you for how kind and tolerant and patient you are with us. Thank you for the good gifts that you've given us in this world. And God, thank you for the sober reminder that we all have ways that we have fallen short. We have areas of brokenness in our lives. God, thank you that we can be honest about that. Help that confession be liberating to us, because once we admit the problem, then we can go about the solution. And thank you for sending Jesus, who has the power and the ability to help us start again with you and with each other. As we sing this song, do a true and real spiritual work in our souls. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's sing together.